PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Here, give me that. Everybody take it easy. Especially you, Riggs.
Riggs? You Martin Riggs?
Yeah, the Chicago Riggs. What's your name?
Pierre
von Wurzelf. Fuck, I'll just call you Adolf. Are you Arian, what? That's you.
It's official.
Yeah.
They are official. Under the Diplomatic Relations Act, no diplomatic agent may be detained or arrested.
Once his identity has been established.
And we do have a serious diplomatic situation here, which I will be taking up with your State Department first thing in the morning.
Well, you got me quaking in my boots, but I'm still going to bring you down.
My dear officer, you could not even give me a parking ticket. Who is the dickhead now, hey?
The battle for the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The video drum. The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, the television screen is part of the physical structure of the brain. Therefore, whatever appears on the television screen emerges as raw experience for those who watch it.
We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to episode 238 of Cinema Crespediso.
Some buttons
previously on a previous podcast recording, and apparently I hit the one that shut off the effects board, so I gotta figure out which one turns it back on, and I'm not gonna do that at the moment.
Surely
this button that says effects,
hey, it's not
it was a button that says effects, you know, guys. It's a button that
the whole better late than never thing did not apply to the situation.
Daily dollar short.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, Cinema Crespediso episode 238. I am your host, Chris Crespo. That's right. Running this thing into the ground. PFT Radio Network is underway.
Exploding in your face.
Exploding in thine faces with podcastual goodness. Here with me is Drew Smogger and Drew.
Oh,
I need you to help me with the threat update. Give me a number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. You are determining today's threat update.
We're going to the maximum 5.
Number 5. Today's current threat level is Coral. Your unquestioning cynicism is adequate for now.
Well, I mean, for now, it is.
Yo, that's your current threat level.
We'll see if it lasts until tomorrow.
Thank you, Drew. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing?
Doing pretty okay. I mean, my unquestioning cynicism
you're
all right for now.
Your unquestioning cynicism is okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Unquestioning cynicism is what PFT Media is being built on.
Yes.
Guys, we have with us fellow PFT Media show host, podcast host. He's been on here before, but now he's on as a podcast partner, sister, show, content creator, ladies and gentlemen, from What's the Fuss, Rocky Soka is here.
Thank you guys for having me. I really love being on the show. I really love the show.
Love having you on. Cheers, sir.
Hey, cheers.
You got your PBR.
What's Drew drinking?
I got my vodka.
Tea?
He's got some tea.
Tea?
Drew is cutting back on the drinking.
I'm becoming a teetotaler. It's just sweet, it's happening.
Tea. Oh, Drew. Is it a sweet tea?
Is it a sweet tea or unsweetened tea? Or are you a sweet tea?
Sweetened.
This guy doesn't give a shit
Drew's
about
a sweetie.
Sugars or...
Yeah. Sugars, carbs, whatever. I don't give a shit what I eat.
He will add sugar to his sweet tea.
I should. I should start doing that.
I just gave him the idea to do that. Are you really? Are you leaning towards teetotaling now?
I mean, there's really no... At this point in time, there's really no point in it. I mean, I don't enjoy being drunk. And I get drunk after like two drinks. So,
yeah,
what's the point?
As opposed to just catching a buzz?
Well,
you can't just catch a buzz anymore.
What's wrong with drinking, though? Like, what's wrong with drinking tea and lemonade? I kind of
like
it. No,
nothing whatsoever. I'm just asking. Yeah, tea. Billy D., our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado, and our first subject of our first video series, PFT Media series, Billy D.'s post-mortem. He's a teetotaler.
So this is the first attractive person that we have on the network.
Yes, that's okay. That's why he gets the video series.
Okay,
yes.
Just making sure.
Yes, he is fully photogenic.
Yes, he is.
So, it's just, all right, that's cool, man.
Just making sure I'm in the loop.
You're in the loop, so yeah. So, hey, we can make that a podcast where I get drunk, I get hammer drunk, and then you don't drink, and then I guess that's just what's
that's not, yeah, that's yes. Right. Yeah,
I'll help. I'll Uber here. And
please,
we'll just
Uber.
Talk about what's going on in the network. That's kind of what Tidbits is doing, though, right?
Tidbits, yeah.
Tidbits is going to kind of be updating us a little bit on what's going on.
Tidbits is going to be the, what we're going to do is have like best of clips.
You had a fancy name for it.
Tidbits, we did. Well, the names were bouncing around. Tidbits, the PFT radio show. We had different ideas for it, but it will be, we'll be pulling clips. Like, for example, with their permission, and I'm willing to bet they won't mind. I would probably see if I can over the Twisted 10.
Okay.
When you and Billy were over there,
yeah,
doing the top 10 Simpsons facts. Listen to that episode. You guys did a good job over
there.
Thank you,
man.
Well,
I'm so glad that one's doing well because I was really nervous. Yeah. I love the Simpsons and I love the Twisted 10. I heard your episode, but of course you're more of a professional than I am, and I, as you almost dropped
almost dropped my tablet and knocked drinks over. Yeah, I don't know about that. Just as you say that, I don't know.
But
about
I have a tendency to go when I'm nervous, and it happens in my Angel interview a little bit, and it happens on the Twisted 10 a little bit. But I was able. See, I just did it. But I was able to, you know, kind of power through it, and it turned out to be a really fun episode.
It was fine. I enjoyed listening to it.
I did top 10 Simpsons facts.
Yes, fun facts, and it was not cool to have Billy there too with you.
Oh man, he was moral support. Like you wouldn't believe the whole way there. He was like, oh, you got this. This is so cool. you know, he was really. You know, he was instrumental in that being so funny, too.
That's fucking, that's pretty fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I love him. Etchy couldn't be there because he was working very hard back here at the network.
Yeah, which is, someone's got a mind, mind to store.
It happens.
Well, we love having you on, man. You're a fun guy.
I'm probably one of the first guests to bring you a gift. One of the kids left his bike in my hallway for a few days, and you guys can have it now.
We're sweet. Yeah.
We're taking the bike.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, are you a bicyclist?
Yeah, no, not really. I don't think I've ridden a bicycle since I've been old enough to drive a car.
I know where there's a pawn shop.
There you go.
Sweet.
That's the best I can do. Well, Rocky, thank you for coming on. Everyone check out the... hold on one second.
All the shows on...
Everyone check out the latest What's the Fuss. What's the Fuss? It's available on PFT Media, but of course you just go to iTunes. It's on Stitcher Radio. Mm-hmm. The TuneIn app. It's on Google Play. It's on all these places. Anywhere.
It's on a lot that I don't know about.
Well, we made sure that it's wherever people can listen to it. Good. So everyone needs to check out What's the Fuss. The latest one. You just put out the second part of the Angel Rivera
show. Yeah. We just... Awesome. Well, we had you the week before. We did a lot of,
Well, you recorded...
Shuffling.
We can just tell people what happened. You recorded two with me.
Yes.
The next week, two with Angel.
Yes.
And the next week, two with Fast Food Jesus.
Yes. And they were all great interviews, so we wanted to drop them as their fans or whoever.
Which I think was really cool. It's a good idea. You released mine when we... The first one by the weekend. But then when we recorded with Angel, instead of releasing my part two, you put out Angel's part one. So when Chris... when me, Angel, Fast Food Jesus, and then me again, and then Angel this week, and then Fast Food Jesus Part 2 next week. And then Part 2 is always the crazier episode because everyone's starting to get a little punch drunk.
Yeah, I got to give my...
Or real drunk.
I got to give Etchy pretty much full credit on that one because I wanted to do them in order, But he let me know, he goes, no, man, let's stagger them like this. We'll pad a few. And then that gives us a chance to go on our little podcast tour, which we just went on.
Yes.
And including this right now. So we got to handle all this stuff while we still had content coming. And it was perfect. It worked out wonderful. And no wonder you guys are in charge of this because... I don't know. It was a brilliant.
Etchy's got some ideas. He's been around for a while, so he's a good one to listen to.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're gonna talk a little bit more about the PFT network and about that media tour you guys have just gone on in the second half of the show. Let's go ahead and get started here with the first half of the show with the streaming pick of the week. So let me turn up the volume on this and then hit that.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week. Cinema Crespediso streaming.
Pick of the Week, 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 week.
What? The streaming Crespediso randomizer 9000.1 has spit out the final title available in the randomizer. We are down to the nitty gritty, the final it. If this isn't in the justwatch.com, that means there is no streaming pick of the week. Juice of Cockroach, is that what you're indicating to me non-verbally on an audio podcast?
Yes.
Oh my god. Oh my god. What has come? This is what happens when you try to do too many things at once. Things fall off like the rest of the...
Drink some more. Have another drink. No, you know what? Take two sips, Chris. Mm. You deserve it.
This is like you work hard. This one has like 90% volume. Well, the ice melted, like 80% volume. Yeah.
Saw him pour it. It was a heavy pour. It was a home pour for sure.
It's a Tito's pour. You don't want to put too much junk into Tito's.
Tito's soda is one of my favorite, man.
Isn't it so good?
You're mixing junk and Tito's now? You're just, man. Talk about going downhill.
I'm burning the candle on all the edits.
Yeah, and now you're hanging out with the dudes from What's a Fuss, so you're probably drinking a lot more just inherently.
Inherently, just being, yeah, I wasn't planning on drinking. I was going to have a coffee, and then you broke out a PBR.
I did have a coffee this morning before.
Just out of your pockets. You don't even have a bag or anything. You just showed up with only your clothes, but somehow
you showed up on some kid's bicycle, half a case of PBR
in your various pockets.
With
some kid's bicycle and a backpack full of beer.
That's how I roll.
You have the backpack.
Sounds like high school.
I'm still trying to. I'm still trying to live my high school days. That was when I peaked, so I'm still kind of living there.
Rocky is a baby. He is considerably younger now.
We're an old baby.
Man. Yeah, you're a baby. Look at all the much gray hairs we got. This guy. This guy's an old man. This guy is like 55 years old.
Seriously. I know I'm kind of new in the podcasting, but I thought I was kind of turning into like a veteran.
I'm talking about podcasting. I'm talking about life.
Oh no! I mean, I'm 30, man.
Yeah, so you're a baby. This guy over here, he's 72 years old. I know he's
72 years old.
Yeah, but black don't crack, man.
You don't. You set me up with a joke.
It's that all weed diet, bro.
I was about to say
that all weed diet.
All weed diet. That's all. That's all he eats. He juices everything. Weed tea,
hemp oils, hemp tea.
Yep.
Hemp baths, mm-hmm. hemp car, yes. hemp gasoline.
Yes.
He lives in a hemp hut, powered by hemp. Juice, hemp gasoline, and there's hemp solar power machines that take the hemp rays from
hemp
the sun.
Hemp does everything. The seeds create oil that can run cars. You can actually eat the insides of the seeds.
You can make plastics out of it
that biodegrade. You can make papers, obviously. Huh. Clothing,
He has hemp puppets that he puts in front of his hemp box that looks like a TV, and he reenacts episodes of Hemp ER, and he has like a little hemp George Clooney, and he is like, we need 22 cc's of hemp stat.
Why are we not funding this?
This should be funded because
I'm not a dirty hippie.
Because,
that's why.
Because hemp is illegal, so then that money then to be funded they will somehow either come to or go to come from or go to ISIS.
They opened up a weed shop over by the Hammered Lamb.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah,
you got a big old green cross over there.
Yeah, yeah, big old green cross. It's a white building. It's actually really nice. It's the nicest building in that little plaza.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're headed south on Orange, mm-hmm. before you get to downtown, when you get over to one of the sponsors of What's the Fuss Galactic G, you'll start seeing it. Once you get right past there, you'll see a big old white building with a green cross.
And you can get all your CBD vaping stuff.
No. You know what's funny is my legal.
Yeah, the CBD is
my mother. She doesn't want to use her pain pills anymore, and my doctor goes, "Well,
the CBD then. Yeah. That's what you got to get."
He goes, "Well, in their plaza, they have one of these shops wherever she's at. I'm not sure where it is."
Yeah.
But basically he was like, I don't test for that. He goes, you need to go over there and get yourself something, lady.
Interesting. Yeah. Actually, I was talking to someone recently who's like,
struggling with severe pain issues, pain management issues, and worried about getting deep into pain pill use.
Oh, that purple derpal will help you out.
Yeah, well, that, not necessarily, but even then, though, that's talking about, this person doesn't want to get into the high aspect of it.
They're you don't have to.
That's what the CBDs are for. Yeah. The CBDs will help with the body pain and not make you all high, you know, the fun stuff. So he needs the actual medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I understand. I get that.
Very helpful. Not everybody wants to be stoned. Which are
exactly, yeah. Like Drew Sakai, he's a teetotaler over here. He's going to live on his all-weed diet with his hemp beers and his hemp wine, his hemp mead, and he drinks
mead
it,
is
with his hemp juices.
Delicious.
And he's going to have hemp barbecue, smoked meats with hemp smoke. And he's gonna cook it on a hemp grill.
I'm gonna feed my pigs nothing but weed too.
Yes, that actually. I want
Could
those
you
pigs.
Get some weed bacon?
I want to eat some of those pigs, man.
Hold on, I have a weird question.
Yeah,
I have two. I have a two-part question.
Here we go. Question number one.
All right, if you were to smoke let's say a pork butt or something like that, or let's say a couple of chickens, I think that would be the most delicious. If you were to smoke it with the pot, would it turn out resiny?
I mean, it would.
And two, would it actually get you high?
Would it get you high?
Well, no, if you were in the room while you were burning all the weed, yeah, you're getting high.
But from eating the meat, no.
For smoking the meat, no, it would not get you high. The reason why edibles work is because you make the can of butter. And the can of butter is very high THC.
Or the oil,
and,
yeah.
Exactly. And then when it bakes or whatever, I mean, baked goods are best way to get, if you're trying to get stoned off your food.
Yeah, if you smoke it with weed, I think it'll probably taste weedy.
Yeah.
It'll taste like the smoke, but it won't get you actually high.
No, it won't get you high.
I'm just thinking of like a big old chicken like with resin all over it, and I'm not liking that.
Oh, in a similar way though, what Drew was saying, there's like some of those marijuana farms, dispensary farms, the growers out west, they have all the trimmings, all the shit that they
California way?
Use. California, Colorado. Actually, I read about this in relation to Colorado.
Yeah.
A farmer takes all the his clippings, all the weed, waste, takes it to a pig farm up the road, and then that farmer feeds all that shit to his pigs, because the pigs will eat
the pigs will eat absolutely anything. Right? I grew up on a farm.
But he has so much of these clippings that they're eating exclusively these weed clippings, and he says it makes them delicious.
It infuses the pig fat with
the, but it's not, again, it's not getting you high. Wow. But it is delicious, he says.
That's awesome.
So what is this week's stream? That's a fun fact.
Oh, you know what? It's actually wrapped around this cord now, but it's El Mariachi.
Oh, here we go. I hope that's on there. Fingers crossed.
You don't have a drum kit in here?
No. Well, it's a townhouse situation, so you know, the neighbors would have. I've done that before. I made that mistake before. I've had band practice.
It's streaming on Sundance.
Streaming on Sundance. I don't know what that means, but that's the best we can do.
The Sundance now.
There we go. On Sundance, El Mariachi. Man, that's a bummer. That's not on Netflix anymore. What did it say on the piece of paper? Do you remember if it said Netflix or Amazon?
Hulu.
It used to be on Hulu.
It's on none of those things anymore.
It used to be on Hulu, but it's not on there anymore. So you know what? Yes, there you go. El Mariachi. Have you ever seen it?
No, I have not.
Have you seen Desperado with Antonio Banderas?
No, I have heard Desperado from Me First and the Gimme Gimmies.
Oh, their version of Desperado from, who was it? The Eagles? No, just Eagles. Excuse me.
You pay my expense. No, that's not it.
No.
That was John Denver.
John Denver.
Yeah, that was John Denver.
Denver, Colorado. We
did Desperado. That's the one.
Despacito. Justin Bieber. We'll talk about him in the second half of the show. El Mariachi is Robert Rodriguez's very first movie.
Okay.
He made it for reportedly $7,000. And it's like really cheap.
$7,000 is nothing.
Especially considering it was in the 90s. So he shot it on film. He had to get a camera. He had to get film. He had to get a process. He had to edit it all together.
What?
It was way more complicated in the 90s than it is now with digital. And, you know, you could put together a movie with iMovie on it.
You can't even buy a camera for $7,000. How did he do this?
Right, exactly. Well, actually, if you want to know how he did it, he has a book called Devil Without a Crew, I think it's called. Something like that. God damn it. I wish I knew remember the exact title. I read this
Devil Without a Credit Score is what it is now.
It's something like that. Devil Without a Something, I think is what it was called. And it's a pretty quick read, and it's from his diary. He kept track of like what he was doing, how he raised the money. One way he raised the money is by... medical experiments. He signed up for like those type of testing type things. Yeah.
Rebel without a crew.
Thank you very much, Drew.
Does he mention which ones? Which like kind of things that he had to do for these medical experiments? Was it take a weird drug, you don't know what it is?
I think it was a take a weird drug one. Oh, I think it was one of those ones. And he may have been in the placebo group.
I'm thinking about it.
Well, he raised enough money. And also, you know what else he did while he was in there? That's where he wrote his screenplay. While he was in there. You know what else he did while he was in there?
What did he do?
He made a friend named Peter, who he then cast as like the main bad guy in this movie.
Oh, cool.
So when you watch El Mariachi, which is shot in Mexico. And the thing is, it's shot in Mexico in Spanish with mostly Spanish actors, because he intended to sell the movie to the Spanish action video market. It was never a movie meant to play at Sundance.
What's the premise of the movie?
It's an action movie. El Mariachi, a young mariachi guitar player,
okay,
shows up to a town with his guitar case looking for work.
Guns.
No, he shows up for work, and it's a guitar. He
plays just guitar. A lowly guitar player just down on his luck.
Lowly guitar player.
I love this so far.
And in the same town, a hitman named Azul, named Blue, he gets busted out of a jail, and he goes around looking to get revenge on the town's, like, on like the drug lord of the town, right? The problem is, he keeps all his guns in a guitar case. So the drug dude sends out his goons. He's like, you gotta go kill the mariachi, kill the guy with the guitar case. And they find the first dude, and they think it's him, and he gets caught up in the whole thing. So it's him.
You'd think you'd be able to open it up, or, you know, just be like, hey guys, no, it's not me. I'm just a lowly guitar player from
You would think so, but it's a fun movie, man. It's a fun, wild movie. It's like super cheap looking, but it's really well done.
Is it Mexico's The Dude?
It's an action movie.
Oh, okay.
What happened was he had made this whole movie and then he made the movie for Spanish markets, but it was a little better quality than Spanish markets expected. And he ended up like submitting it to, I believe, Sundance. And it became a hit over there, and it got him some attention. And that's how he started getting movies made. That's how he started getting traction in Hollywood. Plus Tarantino saw it. He loved it. That's why Tarantino is in Desperado. The movie with Antonio Banderas, Desperado, is actually a sequel to El Mariachi. But then they recast the guy who played El Mariachi. Instead of it being Robert Rodriguez's buddy, it's
Antonio Banderas.
That's awesome.
Of course.
Which is a big upgrade. Yeah. And then they went on to make a third movie, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, with Johnny Depp, and that movie sucks.
Not so good.
That movie sucks.
Did Depp ruin it, or did somebody else ruin it?
I think it just as a whole.
Rodriguez ruined it by making a bad movie. Yeah, he just made a bad movie.
So it wasn't Depp's fault?
Not at all. No, he was one of the best parts of the movie.
They can't all be winners, Chris.
Depp was totally fine. This was before
he was in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes, he was. That was his first role.
He got eaten.
That's
by
where I know him from. That's where when I think of Johnny, I think of him in a half shirt.
He's also, a lot of people don't remember this. He's in Platoon. He's one of the people in the Platoon group in the army. He gets killed about three quarters of the way through.
Oh wow,
29.
I mean, I was just 30-year-old spoiler. I was just telling Rocky, I keep forgetting that Vin Diesel's in Saving Private Ryan.
Vin Diesel's in Saving Private Ryan.
He's the first one to get shot.
I keep forgetting.
I've never seen Saving Private Ryan the whole way through.
Oh, and yeah?
It's out here in the studio's green room, if you will.
On the green room, yeah.
And
the brown room. It's actually the brown room.
It's beautiful. It's a green room.
The green room.
But yeah, I never saw it before, and it was.
It's a concentrates room.
It gets a little deep. If you just kind of come in.
It's a heavy movie, man. It's a super heavy movie. Saving Private Ryan, when it came out, originally given an R rating because it's super violent in the first 20 minutes when they hit the beach. Notoriously violent. Limbs are flying off.
Yeah.
At the time, considered one of the most real depictions, still one of the most real depictions of war in a movie. That's a glorified of violence that's shown you the horrors of it, right? To the point where, and this came out in the 90s, so still plenty of World War II veterans alive. People were on that beach. They went and saw that movie, and they're like walking out of the theater, like crying and shaking. It's like,
they're recreating the PTSD
of it. There was a big deal where the MPAA wanted to make it rated R because it's way too violent. And people are like, you know what, kids, like not necessarily kids, but teenagers, like high school, 16, 15, 14 year olds,
they should
still be able to see this movie to see the horrors of war and what people went through and what happened at that time. It shouldn't be R rated. So it's one of the few movies that would have been an R rated because of the violence, but because of appeals. process, got knocked down to PG-13 for educational purposes without actually editing anything.
I was just telling Drew, actually, earlier, I was like, I didn't see this movie because I think, from what I remember, there was a guy that was experiencing PTSD, and I don't know what they were calling it at the time, but he didn't want to see the movie, and I thought he was like a real man.
Yeah.
And so I never saw the movie.
Sure.
It's just one of those little weird things.
In the 90s, it wasn't necessarily PTSD, was it? It was, but Shell Shock. Shell Shock was old.
Yeah. Well, he didn't want to see the movie, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, fair enough, which, I mean, wouldn't blame him. There was one guy, we'll talk about Dunkirk later, but there's one guy who was involved in the Dunkirk mission. Still alive, and he's like 90 years old, and he went and saw Dunkirk, and he said it was pretty amazing. Obviously,
that's awesome.
At
least he liked it. It didn't.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a great movie. That's so awesome. El Mariachi is the pick of the week if you can find it. Apparently, it's on the Sundance channel. If anyone has access to that, otherwise, seek it out. It's great. Watch it with Desperado as a back to back, and see how Robert Rodriguez grew as a filmmaker, not only in budget but in skill. But also, Rebel Without a Crew. It's fucking fantastic. I'm the Rebel Without a Clue. Robert Rodriguez was Rebel Without a Crew. He put together this whole movie. And he also talks about how he sold it, the negotiating process, making money and all that stuff. It's very fascinating, actually, if people are interested at all in both the filmmaking or film business aspect. So, there you go. All right. Time for... We're going to talk about that money, a box office recap time, Drew. Where are we starting at top five?
Top five, number eight.
Number eight.
Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
That's right.
Made $6.8 million. Total of $30 million domestic. Apparently, it hasn't come out worldwide.
Oh, really? Mm. Or maybe they don't have the numbers yet. Mm. That happens. Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, I believe. Drew, maybe it was an off-mic conversation, but you called it. You said this was going to be this year's Jupiter Ascending, right? Big sci-fi movie that no one goes and sees.
Uh-huh. And it's probably not going to be that good.
And it's not even that good. No. And you know what? We went and saw it. Ron, big gay Ron out in L.A., our homie.
No.
Love the guy.
I love Big Gay Ron.
He's the best. He's awesome. He hits us up all the time.
The last time I saw him was at a BDM event, and I didn't see him first. He saw me.
Yeah.
So there's a giant gay black man running at me.
He's coming.
He's running at me. He's parting the sea like Moses. We're at a BDM event, I said. And then I'm over in front of one of those weird bars in downtown Sanford, and I look to my right, and here he is coming through the crowd. And he gets me, and I was able to jump up just in time to be embraced by his big... gay black man, and
awesome.
I love him. I love him so much.
We love him. He's the best. He hit us up and said that he went and saw it with his boyfriend, and that they both enjoyed it. Not great. He had some complaints about it.
Good, not great.
But he said, he gave us a good, not great review. Now, also, another homie of the show, Scott, hit us up as well. And he called Valerian a straight-up shitburger. He railed on it. He did not like it at all.
What was his problem with it?
Everything.
Okay.
Plot points, casting, everything. He didn't like it. So Drew and I, we were a week late, super busy with the PFT media rollout, right? Yes. That's been taking up a lot of my time.
Yeah.
But Drew and I finally saw it in the 3Ds. Drew, what did you think?
Yeah.
So I got a... Hold on.
I mean...
I got a good, not great.
Yeah.
I got a bad, and I got a meh.
Right,
well, I mean, remember what I
that
said?
Sounds like it's right in the middle.
Remember what you said? I said earlier about it being this year's Jupiter Ascending. It's exactly
ascending.
What the fuck it is.
It really is.
It's not. I mean, the concept is amazing.
Very ambitious.
Fucking amazing. The concept blew my fucking mind. And, and in all reality, the world building they did was pretty good too.
It's a huge universe, a huge sandbox that they were playing.
Yeah. But you know, it was they didn't. Seemed to nail really anything home very well.
Why did I not ever feel compelled
at all? Like
I was
period.
Never, I was never compelled by the story.
I mean, I'm
it was weird. I wasn't bored.
Never compelled. You're right. No, I wasn't compelled. But also, I think it's a lot like you know about what Scott said. You know the casting choices. I mean, Cara Delevingne was well enough. Dane DeHaan is not good enough to carry a movie.
I guess not. I like him, but. Yeah, he wasn't the best.
No.
He's no Harrison Ford.
No, he's not.
So kind of have to be the three-way tie right now. We got a good, a not good, and a meh. What did you think?
I think we're Drew and I are on the same page. It feels
two
like
mehs?
It's like yeah, because it's a fantastic looking movie, right?
Oh, it's very pretty.
And here's the thing. So on a first watch, but, not knowing what I'm getting myself into, it's always changing. They're always going to a different location. We're meeting a new species. Their new inventions and weapons and concepts are throwing things at the wall like crazy. So that's why I'm never really bored.
But y'all, but I mean,
but with the story itself,
you never get enough time for any of it to stick.
I guess, is that what it is? Nothing's sticking. So the story itself is like okay, but I was never on the edge of my seat. Like,
so
oh,
they shot themselves in the foot with that. It wasn't really anything.
Packing too much in, maybe. It's also a little long at like 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Long and fucking. And seriously, a lot of the stuff between Valerian and Loreline could have been completely cut out of the fucking movie.
2 hours and 15 minutes is a long.
It's a long movie.
That's a lot.
And the whole movie, Scott brought this up in his review. A lot of it is based around this whole the relationship between the two characters, the two agents, the major and the sergeant. And very early on in the movie, like within 5 minutes of the movie, he's asking her, like, will you marry me? And he's like, we don't even know who these people are. And he's like, will you marry me? And she's like, well, I don't know. And she plays hard to get the whole time. But you know she's going to say yes at the end. It's not, you know, it's going to happen. They're going to get together by the end of the movie. This is a movie. We've seen how movies work.
Yeah.
You know, and...
What's a good time for a movie? 120? What's a good length of a movie for you? Perfect length.
Depends on the movie. It's
I've seen 90-minute movies that I was craving more out of. Yep. I've seen, you know, 2.5-hour movies that I was like, oh my god, you cut out an hour and a half of this movie.
Yeah, when I saw easily. When I saw Wolf of Wall Street at 3 hours, it flew by. I was like, this movie's wild.
I love that movie.
When I saw Steven Soderbergh's Solaris at 90 minutes, I love that movie, but it's the longest 90-minute movie.
I could do a basketball too. So I'm one of those people that I have weird ones that I like.
And basketball wouldn't be surprised if it's like 85 minutes long.
Yeah, no, you know? That's a short.
Some comedies they'll even struggle to break 90 minutes. It's about the movie itself, and if you're telling a good story and it's compelling, that's how you end up with a TV show, right? That's like 10-12 hours.
Basketball hour 48.
Look at that, Trey.
An hour 48.
Who those guys think they are? Those self-indulgent bastards. How dare they? that's funny, right? An hour and 45-minute movie. Good for them. So I don't really. It depends on the movie, and so for certain genres, I expect certain runtime. So for a comedy,
now let's go for straight. Yeah, comedy. You just want to short and sweet.
Comedy 90 minutes, an action movie. Give it to me.
Have you given a top five comedy, like your favorite comedies, on this show? Have you done that before?
I don't know if we've done that. Would be like a whole bonus episode. That could be a fun bonus episode.
We have a problem with that whole top movies thing.
Yeah, a top movie list is tough because I always preface it when if you're going to ask me what my top movies are, it's like, oh, okay, these are what
it's they interchangeable
are at this time right now.
Like right now is what I'm digging.
If you ask me tomorrow, I may remember.
We asked you about music on our show.
It's always different.
You pretty much said the same thing. You were there's some days that I'm digging this and there's some, and I feel the same way.
Exactly.
I really do.
It's hard to be like, well, this is definitively my favorite of all time, no matter what. Like, I mean, my moods change or I hear different things and stuff.
Right now I'm really into Biggie remixes. So if you were to ask me right now, I'd be like, well, I like Rat-Tat-Tat. But you know, but you're like, well, come on now.
That's funny. Same thing. Right now I'm listening to a lot of really awful / great rap music. I mean, you know, right now, like I've listened to Future for like 3 weeks straight.
Oh, Future's not awful rap.
Oh yeah, it is. Drew
doesn't like that mumblecore rap, but he still listens to it though.
Yeah.
Oh wait, hold on. I think it's good. I'm thinking of an old school rapper from the 90s. I'm not talking about who are you talking about?
Is that the same Future?
I don't think so.
No, Future is...
He's new.
Future is like... Dun, 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 dun.
No.
He's that new.
Yeah,
I am,
yeah. New.
I am sorry for saying what I said then.
Percocet. Molly Percocet.
No.
Yeah.
No. Molly That's Percocet. Not rap.
You're right. It isn't.
No, it's rap. Yeah, if the kids say it's rap.
Yeah.
If the kids are into it, then it's what's cool, man.
The kids love it.
And you know what? If you're not into what the kids are into, that means you're an old man. That's how it works. I'm sorry, you're
out. What happened to De La Soul?
That's for old men.
They're on a different playlist.
That's for old men like you. Yeah, they're on the R&B playlist.
Well, I'm the youngest. No, they're on my conscious rap playlist.
Conscious rap with your Nas.
With my Nas and my Talib Kweli and my Most Def.
Black Star. Yeah.
I like George Watsky a lot. That's about as close as I get to millennial rap.
Millennial rap? Man, what about Common. Kyle? I like Kyle, man.
Kyle's early Kyle. Kanye, when he wasn't crazy. Well, he was still crazy, but not as crazy.
No, I like crazy Kanye.
Who's Kyle?
I like early Kyle. Kanye.
Kyle's one of these new guys, man. He put out a song with Lil Yachty called I Spy.
No,
really good.
No,
everybody fucking
like
loves
Kyle
it.
Kanai and the comedian, but
Kyle Kanai.
I hate that little Yachty nonsense.
I heard some little Yachty that I actually good. Like.
Joe Budden tore them a new one, and it was really good. Yeah, I believe it's a little
You would think Joe Budden's an old man. He's like
he is an old man.
He's 33 years old. But you know what? If someone said the kids are too, then yes, he's an old man. Yeah. So I'm sorry to inform you, even though you're a baby at 30 years old, you are also an old man. Mm-hmm. That's how the world works. It makes no sense. But all that being said, Valerian, if you're into like sci-fi and seeing stuff in 3D, it's worth seeing a 3D matinee of this in a theater. Otherwise, it may not, I don't know, just watch it at home.
I saw Speed Racer in 3D. It was awesome.
Oh, fuck yeah, it was.
We saw it in 2D, but on the IMAX screen at Point Orlando, and it was amazing.
I saw it in a friggin' planetarium. It was
cool. Oh, that's dope. So a nice big screen. So cool. I think the big screen helped because of the CG cars. The bigger screen and the louder sound in the IMAX theater gave the cars literal more
weight. Oh, everything was rumbling.
It made it seem more.
And then later that night, they did a planetarium thing, which we also, if you saw that, you also got to see this planetarium thing.
That's cool.
So, of course, we stayed there. It was, you know, it was a big deal for my family. We all waited, got lunch, came back, and ended the planetarium thing. I remember being more impressed by the planetarium. Oh, that was cool.
Yeah,
I really like that.
That shit is really cool.
I remember just thinking as a young kid, man, I wish I had some of those CBD oils or some of them
oils.
Something.
Some of them hash oils.
Number five this week.
Oh, yeah, box office. Uh-oh.
Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Correct.
Made an additional $13.45 million, total of $278.
Good for
that. Domestic.
Gonna make that $300 million.
Oh, my God.
Probably $600, $700.
Another $355 foreign, total worldwide $633.
At $633, so it's coming up on $750 worldwide total, probably. Again, it's gonna make right around the same amount of money as The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which everyone considered a failure.
Mm-hmm.
But when this one does it,
it's gonna be a success.
It's gonna be a success. Proving no one knows nothing. Nothing really matters. Are you a Spider-Man fan at all, Rocky?
I like the movies only because I like a lot of you know, the weird comic book movies, but I'm not so invested in it.
Yeah.
I'll watch it for what it is.
Sure.
So Spider-Man I do like. The Batmans I like, and I don't necessarily have a favorite. I haven't seen the new one with the Joker that's, you know, all about that. What's that one called?
Dark Knight.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. Oh no, I've seen all the ones with Christian Bale and all that stuff like that, but I haven't seen the one with the Jared Leto guy.
Oh, Suicide Squad.
I haven't seen that. That's not
a Batman movie.
Man, even though Batman's in it, it's not a Batman movie.
Okay, cool.
And it's not very good.
Alright, well then I'm glad I didn't, you know, waste my time with it. But I do like a lot of superhero movies only because, I mean, it's great. It's great graphics. It's fun to watch. It's fun to put on.
We talk about it all the time on the show.
And I think Spider-Man was one of the coolest because Spider-Man didn't have such a an ego that I didn't get the ego thing with a lot of them. And Spider-Man was really he was kind of down to earth. Peter Parker almost, he almost reminded me of the Dick.
He's the more relatable one of all them because he's a teenager. He's still in high school trying to figure his shit out. And
But I mean, as far as superheroes goes, I'd rather the Tick and Freakazoid.
The Tick is awesome.
Yeah.
Although I haven't seen the new show yet, I don't know about that.
I know that he's
not Patrick Warburton. How about that?
I know, right? It's not Patrick Warburton. But the thing is that Patrick Warburton Tick show sucked.
It did, but he's still my Tick.
He was such a great Tick.
He's still my Tick.
Still my Tick. Hashtag not my Tick. So that's number five?
Yep.
What's number four?
Number four this week, Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde.
Made $18.5 million, Sims total.
You need a drink.
Not bad. I'll get one in the second half of the show. Which we're coming up on pretty soon. We saw Atomic Blonde. Drew, what'd you think?
It was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
It was great. I appreciate that the lengths they went to tell a good story.
Yeah, they told a pretty good story.
I wanted more
action. Can I get a quick summary?
Yeah.
So I know what to see?
It's an 80s spy movie. 1989. So literally the Berlin Wall is falling
it's about to come down.
This nonsense is going on. But it's
like that weekend.
I think I know what this is.
But it's Soviet spy stuff, so cool. It's a lot of fun. Charlize Theron whoops a lot of ass. Like I said,
looking for the mole.
I wanted more action.
Interesting.
I wanted
even more action.
I wanted more.
There is a decent amount of action in the movie, obviously, because it's an action spy movie. Yeah. But yeah, they did take the time to tell the story aspect of it.
They really did. They did it well.
Yeah, it was a good story because the story is then. So it's Charlize Theron is a British agent working for MI6. She gets sent to Berlin because another MI6 agent got killed. And then, you know what? It starts out with the same plot as Mission Impossible.
No.
the Nautilus, the list of undercover agents, gets stolen. Yep. And it's about to get put on the black market to be sold.
Uh-oh.
So Charlize Theron, her agent, gets sent into Berlin to find the Russian, the Soviet spy, who has gone rogue and is going to sell that list.
And she's been made since the second she hit the ground.
As soon as she gets into Berlin, the KGB is on top of her. And so she's trying to navigate this Hornets. Hornet's nest of spies and intrigue. And
so she's not at any point like a covert op. Like they know who.
No,
they're
she
going
is
for.
Covert the whole time, yeah. But also people know. So it's At one point halfway through the movie, I'm like, all these people are terrible at spying.
Yeah,
but it's because they're
so awful.
They're all spies, so they're all finding each other.
Yeah, I've noticed that watching Gringos. It's like the guys coming after Pablo Escobar, and they're like, oh, the Gringos are here again.
Yeah,
like every time.
So obvious. Yeah. But it's a well made movie. The action's really cool. Charlize Theron's great. James McAvoy's in it. He's great.
She's always great.
Yeah, she is. She's always great. And she does a lot of her own stunts. You can tell. A lot of her own action. There's one fight scene that goes on for like 5-7 minutes that starts in like one room and it goes down like 3 flights of stairs and then it goes like down a hall and she's killing all these people and it's all like this long, like I think it's a fake one take, but it's a long one take and man, it's a fun, really cool movie.
Cool.
And with a great soundtrack.
And super sexy.
Super sexy, great soundtrack.
And yeah.
Yeah, definitely recommend Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
100%.
100%.
That's number 3?
Number 4.
Come on, people.
Numero 3.
What's number 3?
Girls Trip made another $20 million, total of 65.
Oh, that's word of mouth. Apparently, Girls Trip is great.
Apparently, it's hilarious.
So we got to get on seeing that one so we can talk about it on the show officially.
And then number 2 this week, just proving, you know, that America is going down the shitter. The Emoji Movie made $25.6 million.
Congratulations.
It's a lot of movie. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's going to make a lot of movie at opening weekend. But word of mouth will probably kill it.
Well, it's
getting some of the worst reviews I've ever seen.
It is 8% on Rotten
Tomatoes. Are people showing this to their kids? I mean, is that potentially what it's going to be?
One review that I read, someone sat down and said 10, 15 minutes into the movie, they heard a little girl behind them say, "Mommy, I want to go home now."
Oh.
So it's bad.
Well, I love Rotten Tomatoes is a lot smarter than people think they are.
With the consensus?
The consensus the Emoji Movie?
What's the Emoji Movie consensus?
It's an emoji, Chris.
Oh, and it's an X. It's a circle with a line through it.
Uh-huh,
emoji.
Yep. Basically not interested. Do not go see this movie.
Mm. That's really funny.
Uh-huh.
The reviews are terrible. Actually, if you want to find some funny reading, look up a few Emoji Movie reviews and the different ways people shit on it and describe
what
happens
in the movie.
That's
how you know you suck when the people reviewing you are way better than your movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
That's the thing with movies like that. It can result in actually, the good art actually comes in the analysis.
This is one thing I liked about it. I got an article in my newspaper.
Yeah, exactly. I've actually read a few reviews. Instead of seeing the movie, I just read the reviews. It's like, oh yeah, this is good stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of product placement, obviously.
Luckily though, Chris, for us, number 1 this week.
Numero uno!
Still Dunkirk made an additional $28 million, total of 102.
Dunkirk, good movie, great movie, super well done, very tense, very, it's like, oh my god, the whole time. And we talked about it pretty thoroughly last week. We saw the IMAX in Port Orlando, the biggest screen in town. We recommend seeing it on the biggest screen in town, wherever you are, people, for sure. Even if it's a Limax or an RPX or whatever. You know, Drew, how they don't call them IMAX screens anymore?
Yeah.
Now they're like, maybe the one at AMC's. That's the way, quote, IMAX. That might be.
I don't know.
But
what's it called?
Like at Regal, they call it RPX.
Oh, okay.
At the AMC, instead of an IMAX, they have a Dolby Theater.
It's not a real IMAX.
It's not. It's not, because it's not big enough. And,
you gotta think of a fancy name, like IMAX.
Well, I think at AMC, we still have yet to even see a movie there. They have the Dolby Atmos Theater, which is, that one's all about the sound. The sound is supposed to be crazy in those theaters. Like, as opposed to 5.1, 6.1, they got like 32.1 cells or something fucking
whatever
stupid like
that. Means.
That means instead of like 5 or 6 different points, there's like 32 different speakers. It's, you know, overkill as well.
Oh, and someone will still ring their baby.
And someone will still bring their goddamn baby. He
broke his pants.
So much anger. Goddamn babies. I hate babies. They're the worst. Thank God sperm counts are dropping.
I didn't even finish the sentence and you broke the
pretty funny.
No.
That was very funny how that happened. Mm. Too bad it's not a video. nothing to be seen. Just snapped it. Dunkirk is great. People go see it. If you want to hear our reviews, check out last week's episode with Angel Rivera. Speaking of Angel Rivera, again, he was on our show last week. He's on this week's What's the Fuss? What's that?
Yep.
89.
I'm gonna stop counting because 88. Yeah, well, I'm not counting anymore.
You gotta keep counting. Counting's good.
We'll figure out
you're 3 months away from 100. Keep counting.
Yeah, we'll figure out whenever the 100th episode is, but other than that,
you gotta figure out when the 100th is, and then that means you're coming up on your 2 year month later.
I'm gonna stop saying it during the intro of the show, and I'm gonna let Etchy figure it out mathematically later. Which he's been doing a horrible job, because the other day we were on like episode 84 or something like that, and it was like 79. And I was like,
that's why Chris writes down his numbers, because he forgets that.
I write it down there, I write it down right here.
I used to.
Yeah, write it down. Right, I think it's
I'm really phoning it in these days.
For example, I wrote down that the new movies coming out on DVD this week include The Circle with Tom Hanks and Emma
Watson. Good enough.
And John Boyega.
It was good enough.
It was okay.
It was nowhere near as tense and thrillery as the trailers made it out to be.
Yeah, it was kind of not thrillery. And it was also Bill Paxton's last role, which is a
bummer.
And he played a sick man.
Bummer.
Bill Paxton. Going in Style is the latest Old Men Being Bad movie. That's the one with, Alan Arkin, Chris Walken, someone else that went to rob a bank.
Whatever.
Some shit like that. Slight. Remember that one?
Yes.
Slight is about a kid who is he's like a teenager, and it's just him raising his young sister because his parents are gone or whatever.
I don't remember that.
A magician. Because it's a super low budget, barely came out in any theaters. Yeah. Did we see it at the Enzian?
Yeah, we did.
It's that type of movie. We had to see it at the nonprofit theater. And it's really cool.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a super cool, fun movie.
Call the Enzian the nonprofit theater.
It is. It's a nonprofit
theater. I know, but you make it sound like Aldi. It's really nice.
No, Aldi's nice, too. I like
it's
Aldi.
It's actually, I think it just got rated the number one theater in Florida by some stupid magazine.
Did it? Yes.
You know, it's great.
Yeah,
I love
it there. It's fantastic. Yeah. And they're expanding. People should donate to them.
Fuck yeah.
So they can get
more
their expansion under the way, and they're going to add two more screens. Small screens.
But still.
But two more, so they can increase the amount of movies.
Is there something we can do with PFT Media to get all of our shows to what's it called?
To do like a charity thing or raise money for them or
raise money for the
engine.
I'm
sure we could work something out over there.
I would love to do that.
We could work on something for sure. Colossal with Anne Hathaway.
Yes, finally.
This movie comes out. Anne Hathaway plays a lady who she's like depressed and she's an alcoholic. And
she's a drunk writer in New York City.
She's a drunk writer in New York City. But the problem is her mood swings and her mood affects some sort of giant kaiju monster that's like destroying the city as she like gets
it's somewhere else.
Is it somewhere else?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the kaiju's like on the other side of the planet or something.
So that's that movie. And
but whatever she does, the kaiju does.
And speaking of kaiju, also coming out on DVD, the Shin Godzilla, the first Japanese made Godzilla movie in over a decade.
I thought that was a sore subject.
Over there? No, the thing that happened in Japan is that they made Godzilla movies every year for like 3 years, for like two or three decades. They made so many Godzilla movies that people were sick of Godzilla. So back in 2003, Toho, the company that owns the rights, they're like, we're going to put the big guy on the shelf. He's going to be semi-retired. We're not going to make another Godzilla movie for at least a decade. And that's what they did. It was actually ended up being 12, 13 years between movies. They finally put one out last year.
It was
a big success in Japan, so it worked. It was the biggest, one of the highest grossing movies in Japan
last
year.
That's their Mickey Mouse.
It can be. The problem is they ran into the ground for a while, so they had to put it away. Imagine if Disney put Mickey for a while.
It's because Mickey had enough. An expanded.
The thing is also, apparently, movie's not very good.
Oh, there we go.
So we'll see. Shin Godzilla coming out. Let's come on in theaters, Drew.
Let's see what we got. Don't really care about that. Detroit?
Detroit comes out, yes. John Boyega again. This time it's a Catherine Bigelow. She of The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty. If you go back even further, Point Break and Strange Days and Near Dark. She makes some cool movies.
Yeah, she does.
It's her movie about some crazy bit of American violence.
Yep.
A dark chapter in American history.
Hey, guess what? Police don't like black people.
Hey, guess what? Police are out of control.
Go figure.
When you said black don't crack earlier, I almost said until you hit it with a police baton.
There you go. That is actually the truth. That's the only way you can crack that black.
And then there's this tiny little movie called The Dark Tower that's coming out.
What we're trying to say is
that nerd people are going to.
What we're trying to say is fuck the police. It's not an official PTF Media stance, but. No. Me
Since How about it's a great song.
Me from yeah, it's a great song. I'm just saying it's a great song.
How about racial song. Inequality is unfair and we disagree with that.
There you go. The criminal justice system could use a look at
a massive overhaul.
The war on drugs.
The Dark Tower. Matthew McConaughey does sequel, I guess, to the Dark Tower series of books. That's really weird.
I am really looking forward to when the movie finally comes out and the nerd boys finally get to see it. And half of them gonna be like, "This movie's awesome!"
Yeah.
And the other half of them gonna be like, "The movie blows, and this is why."
Well, the initial trailer that we've seen a bunch of times is okay looking. I'm like, "This looks alright." They showed a new trailer.
The extended trailer.
An extended trailer that showed a lot of action, and it didn't look as good. No, it made me a little worried for this movie.
Yeah.
This based on a Stephen King series of books that I love. I love
that a lot of people love, Chris.
I love him to death.
That's the problem.
And we'll see.
I mean, this is like...
That's the problem.
Oh, I mean, this is like if The Lord of the Rings first one was coming out and people are seeing light. They're like, you know what? I don't know about this shit.
Well, yeah, when that first one came out, people were like, I don't know if this is going to be good. We love that Lord of the Rings. So we'll see. Anything else coming on theaters?
No, not according to IMDb.
All right, well, then it is time for...
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, I don't know if you're aware, but tonight, I mean, it's Sunday night, big night for TV. Obviously, Game of Thrones is on.
Game of Thrones!
Which everyone is probably going to freak out over. But, more importantly, the return of Rick and Morty tonight, Chris. Rick and Morty Season 3 starts this evening. I highly recommend that everybody watch it. If you're not familiar with Rick and Morty, you should familiarize yourself with it post-haste.
Post-haste!
Doctor's out.
There you go. Thank you, Dr. Drew. Let's take a break. Crespo Disco time. The soundtrack for Atomic Blonde is super cool because super the movie 80s. Takes place in the late 80s, so they were liberal with their use of 80s music. And it's a type of movie where it's like if the music is always like someone's listening to it on headphones or in their car or they turn on a stereo and then like...
The song's playing.
And then the song starts playing on the soundtrack and it takes over the soundtrack and it's
That's
super
awesome.
Cool. That happens a lot.
That's the way to do it.
So they... And also it's funny that they use the song because this song was also used... anachronistically in Inglourious Basterds. Quentin Tarantino used a song in a movie that takes place 40 years before it was released. David Bowie's Cat People used great, and then also the original music for the movie is pretty good. So here's a song by this guy Tyler Bates. So we'll play these two songs. We'll be back for the second half of the show with Drew and Rocky. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Alright, here we go.
See these eyes so green, I can stare for a thousand years, colder than the moon. It's been so long. Feel my blood enraged. It's just the fear of losing you. Don't you know my name? Well, you've been so long. And I've been putting out fire with gasoline. We'll be right back.
What's the fuss?
Hey, Etchie, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yeah, why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Etchie, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip, then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, yeah. Thank you so much for your annual donation of $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine, because of your generous contribution, that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of radio.
We'll be right back.
Questogo.
That's right, here we go. Questogo time, second half of the show, episode 238 of Cinema Crespity Song with Drewster Cogburn, Rocky Soka.
Thank you.
What's going on, fellas?
Nada.
I got my refill.
Back for the second half, Chris.
We are back. Welcome back to the second half of the show. Is that what you're trying to get me to say?
I was.
Is that what you're trying to get
me? Yeah. And you did. Thank you.
How many was? Just for you, buddy.
Thanks, dude.
Just for you. Give me one of these.
Sweet.
You're going to watch it all crumble.
Yep.
At our feet. And then we stand there and we listen to the rumble. Listen.
That's what I'm here for.
Listen.
That's the sound of your bones rolling down the hill.
Those are my bones?
Mm-hmm.
Drew, you're so evil.
I can't.
I just like playing with these stupid buttons. Like I suck. I get my fwah back. I don't have that one. Drew Sigurdsson. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
At antihero 419 all over said interwebs.
Damn straight, Rocky. Where can people find you? And what's the fuss? On the internet.
You can find us on, well, all over PFD Media, but you can also find us on whatsthefusspodcast.com. Also, we have a merch section if you feel like helping out the show.
Yeah.
Also, you know, our Instagram is lit as hell. If you want to go on What's the Fuss Instagram, also the Facebook.
What's the Instagram?
It's just What's the Fuss Podcast.
What's the Fuss Podcast?
Almost everything is What's the Fuss Podcast. The Twitter is What's the Fuss Pod.
Because that's what fits.
Yeah, that's
and
what fits.
I think
and
the Facebook is just What's the Fuss.
If you put in at What's the Fuss, we're the crazy cool green logo.
It's the one that starts.
Well,
it's the one that pops up.
Yeah.
With the question mark.
Yeah, that's us. That's how you can get a hold of us, and it's always a ton of fun. We also have a Facebook group, and that gets pretty fun too. We really like interacting with people, and we really like it when you send in music, any kind of news stories that you want us to talk about, or you know stuff like that. We want to hear what you want to hear us talk about.
You do have a Facebook group?
Yes, we have a Facebook group. WTFP.
WTFP?
WTFP or at not that WTFP podcast. All right, not that WTF podcast.
Oh, see, now I'm getting confused. All right, yeah. I'm looking up a group.
Don't worry about the group.
No.
Oh, it's just a Facebook WTFP.
WTFP. FP.
Like, what's the first podcast?
Groups. That's a page. I already like the page. Yeah. But then by groups, I'm seeing, oh my God, what the fuck podcast? What the fuckers fan of WTF with Mark Maron?
No, that's the Mark Maron one. Yeah. We're definitely that's why I always put the P in there. WTFP.
WTFP Clan, WTFP Gaming, WTFP Row, Extreme Ranting, WTFP in brackets, not even parentheses, in brackets. W.T.F.P. has 21 members. This seems to be Chicago Bulls related. I'm honestly looking for it, and I can't find it. Not that WTFP. If I search... Okay, everyone, so you go to Facebook. See, I'm trying to help everyone else. Everyone, go to Facebook. Do a search for Not That WTFP Podcast.
Not that... Yeah. Not That WTF Podcast.
And then you do a search for that, and nothing comes up. So, so good job.
Just go to at What's the Fuss.
Good job naming that group. Speaking of Facebook groups, there's a Cinema Crespity So Facebook group. Find it, search it, we'll add you. There's also one for PTF Media, which is a public group.
PTF?
You know, I've done that before. I've done that.
Yeah, I don't like the group thing. That's why PFT. I like the page.
But groups get more action. Groups get more action and more eyeballs are on them and more people action. Interact with them. So, because I was using a page forever, Cinema Crespity So page. It's barely, no one uses it. No one touches it, right? Once I opened up a Cinema Crespity So group at the behest of fellow future host of a history show. It doesn't have a name yet. A history podcast with Big Tim Murphy. Big Tim Murphy suggested doing a group. He said, trust me, people interact more. And he was right. For example, Leon Rivera posted a meme that was like, give us a movie line and someone will guess the quote in the comments. And that thing is like just under 300 comments based on that one stupid meme, which is amazing. So the groups work better than the pages, Rocky, I'm telling you. So people, check out the Cinema Crespodiso group. We'll add you because that one's closed. The PFT group is
open. It's public. Join that one. But I think the posts have to be approved. We set it to be that way. We'll see. CinemaCrespediso@gmail.com. Email us for free stickers. We'll send you stickers. And also go to pftmedia.com for all the other shows. What's the Fuss? Tidbits. Simon Time Trivia Show, Episode 2. Comes out on Monday. Devils in the Details, Episode 2 is coming out next week. Billy D's Postmortem. I think this is the first time we're announcing it on the show, Drew.
Are we?
I think it's the first time we mentioned it.
Okay.
We teased it, but we haven't actually said it. So this is it. Third time I use that drop in this show. Billy D's, brought to you by Billy D's Death in the Movies and PFT Media. Part of Tompkins Media? We gotta get him on the show. Billy D's Postmortem. Postmortem. I said that funny.
You did. You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Billy D's Postmortem. They're gonna be short little series based on different movies, some of his favorite movies, essential type movies, and he'll break them down, tell you why they're awesome in his own inimitable Billy D style. Follow him on all the social medias at I Love Blood. He is super awesome. Billy D. Postmortem. Looking forward to it. It should be, actually, as a matter of fact, as you're listening to us, you know what? It should be available now. It should be out now on pftmedia.com, or if you go to YouTube, search Billy D's Postmortem. If you look up our YouTube channel, which I think is called PFT Media?
Maybe.
Steve Vecchi is in charge of that. It's either called PFT Media. It may be called PFT TV.
It should be just PFTV.
But then that's a little awkward.
Why? PFT Video.
PFT Video?
PFTV. That's why. When you say it's PFTV, as PFT TV, two T's doesn't work.
PFT Television. But the first, the T doesn't stand for anything anyway. PFT Video.
PFTV.
PFT with the lowercase v?
Exactly. Capital P, capital F, capital T.
Lowercase v.
V.
Rocky, this is why we have these discussions out loud. You voice your opinions to others.
Oh, man.
Point out to you why your idea is wrong and why theirs is better. Drew, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you,
that's
sir.
What I'm here for, bro.
You get one of these. You get one of these.
That's why I do this. It looks better like visually. It sounds better rolling off the tongue.
I agree. You're right. We'll change it. But it might be under PFT Media.
I'm checking it all out.
So right Drew's going to check it out. Billy D's Postmortem. The intro episode's going to be there. He's working on episode one right now. Actually, episode one may be finalized. I think I have an email that says that.
I have a new username for the group.
What?
Yep. Quim, quim, quim. I might have to... oh, no. It's already come up. All right. At WTFP
DOTCOM. DOTCOM.
Yeah, so WTFP.com.
Okay,
so. And if you look that up, that should be our group. WTFP. DOTCOM.
I got your page, which I already liked. WTFP.com. I got that. Yes. Yeah, I got your page.
That's the group page.
That's your page.
That's the group.
That's your page.
Uh oh.
You also need a group.
Man, that's what I'm doing. That's the group. And then I got the page also. Right. Meow.
This is so confusing. Man, what did I get here?
I don't know what you got there. That's the group.
Or just says I liked it, but I haven't joined it.
Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not PFT Media, and it is not PFT TV either. Both of those things... Already taken. One of the PFT Media is Arabic, and PFT TV is looks like some little German girl.
What have we done here?
What did Steve call it then?
I don't know. I haven't found it yet.
Oh, we're looking for it.
I have no idea what's going on with the PFT Media thing.
That is, we're gonna have to.
If you just
that
do
later.
At PFT Media on Facebook, it will come right up.
No, on YouTube.
Nope. Oh, on YouTube. Oh,
you can't do PFTV either.
You lost.
That's
me.
Play Forward Television.
Uh-oh. Yeah, if you look up WTF TV or whatever, it's all kinds of stuff. It's just people crashing their bikes into bushes.
Oh, God, that's WTF.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely, 100%.
Doesn't do us any favors.
PFT is also Pro Football Talk.
Oh. That's great.
I mean, look, our PFT doesn't stand for anything. You know what PFT stands for in PFT Media? Quality Programming. That's what PFT Media stands for.
It's not how you spell quality programming.
Hey!
I'm just saying, you may or may not be illiterate.
I will drink to that. I may or me fail English. That's impossible.
It is.
Let me see. You know what? This is all off-air stuff. We'll worry about the YouTube channel stuff. If you're following us on Facebook or Twitter, you're going to be bombarded with links to Billy D's video, as well as episodes of What's the Fuss, Cinema Crespi, so Scotch and Good Conversation, episode 2 of the Simon Time Trivia Show, that was in the details, Big Tim Murphy's history show,
we're gonna have to do
which
this
will be debuting soon.
We're going to have to do all of this without keeping anybody in the right bottom corner. Because that was the deal.
Oh, Pedro didn't like being in the right bottom corner. You know, the way eyeballs work.
You know, Pedro's got to just live with that shit.
Pedro has to live with the... It'll be a rotating box.
A rotating box. That sounds great.
We'll put the PFT logo
in the bottom
right on the
corner. That doesn't sound good at all.
Someone's always going to be... Oh, shit. Here we go. Drew Sikogward. It's time for Juicer Cogburn versus the world. Juicer Cogburn, you won last week, which puts you at a record of 11-10, just over 500. This week's game is called We've Done It Before, Think of the Children.
Oh, I thought it was called We've Done It Before.
It's called We've Done It Before, in which we're going to play an old game with old questions and old answers. Let's see if you remember it.
No, I don't.
This game is called Think of the Children, and we wouldn't remember it, Drew, but you know who would? People who listen to the show.
Good
it's
show.
Crazy. Think of the Children, Rocky. I'm going to tell you the name of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me the rating. Was it rated G for the kids? Was it rated PG? PG-13 or R? Those are your five options.
Uh-oh.
G, PG, PG-13, R. Okay? And we all know what the ratings are.
Yeah.
How they work out. And this is a comic book movie edition, so these are all comic book movies.
All of them are comic books.
Yes. And since, Drew, you won last week, you get to go first. So do you want Group A or Group B?
I'm going to go with Group B.
Okay, Group B. What's the rating? G, PG, PG-13, or R? Here we go. Number one, Ghost Rider.
PG-13.
That is correct. Number two, Punisher Warzone.
R.
That is correct. Number three, Superman the Movie.
That was rated R.
Bad. PG.
That's correct. Number four, Constantine.
Was it? Fuck. That's all fantasy violence. Shit. PG-13.
It is rated R.
Damn
it. Number five, Spawn. That's PG-13.
Damn it.
Whoa.
That puts you at 3 out of 5. Rocky, here we go. You ready?
All right, yes.
That fantasy violence that gets me, Chris.
I got you, right? I was surprised too. I was rated R. Ooh, that makes it a good answer for late in the... Here we go. Number one, The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight was rated R.
That's PG-13.
Damn.
Number two, Fantastic Four, : Rise of the Silver Surfer.
PG-13.
Ooh, that was PG.
Damn.
Number three, Blade.
PG-13.
That was rated R.
Fuck. That was a hard R, too.
Number four, Thor?
I don't know. PG-13.
That's correct.
All right,
number five, V for Vendetta.
Pass. No. Rated R.
That is correct. You got 2 out of 5, that means, Drew, you are the winner.
You know what? I'm going to give it to you, man. That was a really good one.
That was a good one.
I'm not going to give it to you. You gave it to you.
Nice, quick game. Drew, come out on top. 12-10 is your record now. Was this the beginning of a winning streak? 2 in a row? Oh, my God.
Probably not.
Are we fine? Are we going to salvage the year? 12-10. Last year, you were 17-13.
Salvage the year.
We'll see. We'll see. We have run a lot of guests through the studio this year. Really run Drew through the ringer, I gotta say. And you know what? Only 2/3 of the way through the year. So we'll see how
that makes
goes.
Me feel really good about myself.
We have guests booked pretty much also for the rest of the month.
Yeah, so. It's gonna be a pretty heavy month for all of us, I think.
Yeah, well, you know what's gonna be heavy, heavy foreseeable future with all the PFT media stuff and all the cross promotion, etc., etc. So let's get into the show here. We were talking about Billy D's postmortem, etc., etc. Check out that video series. But in the meanwhile, it's time for Billy D's Death at the Movies.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
What?
All right, enough of that. Here we go. I've been meaning to change that. It's too long. It was.
Oh, what is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
How's it going?
I've had a bit of a busy week, shooting, editing, and getting my face melted. Oh, right, and PFT Media launched this week. Yep. It was certainly has been a week. Transitioning from behind the scenes to in front of the scenes has been quite the experience so far. Let's jump right into it.
Nice.
People, friends, metalheads, go see Slayer. Get there early enough to have your skull caved in by Behemoth. Stay long enough to have your face melted by Slayer, Lamb of God. Is there work to the body?
Yeah, Billy saw, he went and saw Slayer, a bunch of really cool Slayer pictures on his social media.
I saw two movies this week.
What did we see?
And neither were very good.
Oh, no.
One of them, however, was at least interesting. The Bad Batch. Mm. I rented this on Amazon to cleanse my palate after the first film I saw left a taint that... on what's left of my soul.
He's a team.
Yep, uh-huh. Big mistake. How did this attract the cast it did? Jason Momoa, Keanu Reeves, Jim Carrey, Giovanni Ribisi. He's full crazy slash retarded in this. I'm assuming he plays a mechanic because it's Giovanni Ribisi. And Suki Waterhouse is the star. Bad Batch doesn't even really let you know what the hell is going on until an hour into the film. So it's the future, and the U.S. has turned the shittiest part of Texas into a penal colony, and sends all the crazies, homeless, drug addicts, illegal aliens, criminals, and all around shitty people there.
So Australia, Texas becomes Australia.
Mm-hmm. And all these people just do Burning Man 24/7.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure they just shot this at Burning Man. It's like a Charmless Turbo Kid.
Charmless Turbo Kid? That sounds terrible.
We've all seen the Dash Quotesy films.
Quotesy. Koyaanis Quotesy.
Yes. And what else? What's the other one?
Koyaanisqatsi, Noyaskatsi.
I only seen two of them.
And there's a third one, and then there's also Samsara, which is the same people.
Yeah, Samsara. Yeah.
Yeah, which is just for people who don't know. It's just.
And then The Fall, it's right? Like, The Fall? The same guy?
No. No, The Fall's the director. All those other movies, that's all stuff that's like time lapse footage and nature footage. It's like the Blue Planet series before Blue Planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And films like Samsara and Baraka. Baraka! That's it.
Baraka!
And we've all seen Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah.
Now imagine an episode of Rick and Morty where they go see a movie like Baraka in another dimension. A Takeshi Miike dimension. That's Kuso.
Kuso?
A Shudder exclusive. I'd rather catch my kids watching porn than this. Because you can at least contextualize porn. This has no narrative that I saw. But I may have been distracted by all the pulsating buttholes with tongues.
What?
Or the herpes sores.
Ew.
Or the genital moistness of everything.
Oh, I think it ain't so.
This is the word moist for your eyeballs.
Ew.
Drew and I have a shared experience watching Visitor Q.
Moist balls.
Correct. Yeah, we do. Flying Lotus, a.k.a. Steve, seems to have mainlined all of Miyake's films and then said, hold my beer and a sheet of acid. At the very least, it's not boring. It's just like having a stranger's bad acid trip for them. Sometimes you win with these films, sometimes you lose, but that's why I'm here. I'm the shield. Stay cool, Billy D.
Damn, Billy D. First off, I wanted to see Bad Batch when it played at the NZ, and it did have a great cast, but you know what? It didn't have nowhere near the same buzz or reviews of A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Oh, which was amazing. It had nobody in it.
And Billy is like, how did it get this cast? That's because Anna Lily Amapour made A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which is a super
amazing.
Cool black and white vampire movie. Very low budget, and then she's like, I had this crazy idea for apparently a Texas penal colony with cannibals. Yeah. So Jason Momoa and Jim Carrey, they all sign up, and then the movie sucks. That's a bummer. I still want to see it, though. I don't want to see this. This other movie sounds like a horror show.
Yeah. What, Kuso?
Yeah, Kuso.
That's the Flying Lotus guy.
Yeah, no thank you. Movie. No thank you.
Well, I mean, he must be a fan. I mean, if he says it's... like that dude mainline Miyake, I want nothing to do with this.
Exactly, I got enough Miyake.
Exactly. I've seen his inspiration. If that's his inspiration, I want nothing to do with his product.
Precisely. All right, here we go. It is time for the segment of the people, which we call the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
All right, here we go. Billy D, take it away. I'm sorry. Drew Sagagra, take it away. Billy D, you're done for today. Billy D, get back to drawing show art.
We've got an email from Doug.
What's up, Doug?
Chris, Drew, I've got lollipop reviews.
Lollipops, yes, that's right. He said he was going to review Big Tim. Big Tim, have you ever had any of Big Tim's lollipops?
Yeah, I had two. I went to Pyro Spot and got some fireworks over at the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And he was right in front doing his thing.
Yeah.
And
selling hot dogs and lollipops.
Well, selling hot dogs and lollipops. And my buddy Jake had to get one. So, of course, I had to get one. And they were delicious. And then I got some, I got the cherry one.
Nice.
Well, I already had some at the, what was it called? The Tom and Dan Christmas thing.
Oh, do you remember? Do you remember what flavor it was?
Oh, man, I'm pretty sure I got cherry and lemon something over there. But This time I got this like pina colada one. Ooh. And the cherry, and they were both great.
They're good, aren't they? When he was on our show last time, the first time he came on, we were
His hot dogs are great, too.
His hot dogs are good. Hot dogs and sausages. I've gone out a couple times to the car. I've had both.
So great.
Diggy, maybe? If he does it again tomorrow, if it doesn't rain, I'll probably head out there again tomorrow. Get him a sausage.
Do you have a flavor?
Yeah. First time he came on, we were like, it wasn't even like, hey, bring us lollipops for us, you know, for free for coming on the show.
It was just like, bring us lollipops, we'll pay you.
We were like, we're going to have $20 in cash. Bring us $20 worth of lollipops, assorted flavors.
You still have some?
No, we definitely don't.
So good.
But this was the first time he came on months ago, and he totally didn't even bring lollipops. And he was like, I'm bad at this, baby. Just buy them on the website. Mm-hmm. And no, man, we want them delivered from the spokesman himself. It was like, it's like we wanted George Foreman to sell us a George Foreman grill.
Yeah.
We also know George Foreman doesn't make the George Foreman grills. Correct. He's just a spokesman. We still want George Foreman to sell us the grill.
Here's a weird, weird, weird fact about that. The Hulk could have gotten a piece of that.
I have the Hulk Hogan autobiography where he talks about being approached to be...
He missed the call.
It could have been the Hulk Hogan grill. He turned him down.
No, he missed the call. He had his wife dealing with his stuff. And he goes, I don't want to miss phone calls anymore. Last time it was the phone call, George Foreman got that grill.
He said it was a missed phone call. In the book, the way I read it, I remember it being that they approached him and he flat out turned him down.
Oh.
And then he was like, that was a big mistake, brother. I'm a big old dummy. That's an interesting thing about his autobiography. There's a lot of things where he talks about his mistakes, all the shit he fucks up. It's very, very straightforward and very honest.
I heard from the camel's mouth.
He is a weirdly honest dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe he's just mixing up.
He's told two different stories then.
That's the thing. He's lived a long life. He's had a lot of people approach him with different opportunities. Yeah. He could be easily...
Been slammed on his head a lot.
He could be mixing up stories all the time. He had another story where Eric Bischoff came up to him and said... Eric Bischoff wanted to have Hulk Hogan open up a sub shop and call it Hogan's Hoagies.
Come on. How do you not... This guy's giving up opportunities left and right.
Hey, you know what? It's all about the monies.
So, lollipop reviews.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Doug was going to give us lollipop reviews. People go to Big Tim's fancy-as-fuck lollipops. BigTimSellsSuckers.com.
The truly pleasant surprise regarding Big Tim's lollipops are actually the non-native flavors.
Yeah.
Like glazed donut or whipped cream.
Yes. Second time he came on, my point of the story, he brought us whipped cream lollipops. And what was the other one? Cookie cake?
Yeah,
And it had chocolate chip sprinkles
in it.
He
just said glazed donut, and I'm very, very enthralled.
I know, right?
I want to hear about
that. Lollipop, come on.
Don't get me wrong. The classic flavors like blue raspberry and cherry were great, but there's something incredible in the accuracy of the strange flavors. One flavor that stands out in particular is the white male tears. This wasn't candy, this was art. Derived from a flavor I've definitely tasted before, but couldn't put my finger
Semen.
On.
Semen. Oh.
Close! I can say what it is. Go ahead.
The pop starts out incredibly salty, like the Piss Babies, the Pop's title jokes.
Salty, like semen.
Yeah.
Or tears.
Pokes fun at. But ends sweet and satisfying. I'm actually kind of bewildered by how the pop functioned, and I recommend people jump on them while they're still on the site. Overall, Big Tim's product is above the rest. The lollipops aren't too sweet, which leaves a rich flavor that doesn't get overbearing. Ordering candy over the internet will feel like a weird decision, but it's going to pay off tenfold. Thanks for letting me talk about candy on a movie podcast, guys. If it matters, I saw Dunkirk and didn't really enjoy it. I understand why everyone else does, though. Love yous, Doug.
Doug, thank you. He did throw in the movie bit at the end. I appreciate
Doug.
But we told him, no, send in the lollipop reviews.
Doug should do a podcast called Doug Loves Lollies.
Doug loves snacks. Come on. Doug Benson don't mind. Our Doug. You'll be our Doug. You want to join the PFT Media Network doing a Doug snack review show?
We don't have enough Dougs.
We don't have enough Dougs, nor do we have a culinary-based show yet. which we're going to have
culinary?
To get. Yeah. No, culinary.
Q.
Yeah.
Smack you in the face if you say that.
That was the reaction I was looking for. Thanks, Doug. We appreciate it, buddy.
I'm going to try salty. Those flavors for sure.
The white male tears one is salty.
I got to have that glazed donut.
The glazed donut one sounds great. The whipped cream one is awesome. The whipped cream one is like a staple. They always have it. White male tears is salted almonds. Salted almonds, which is I want to try.
Salted almonds.
It's one of their, I think actually Big Tim said it may be their highest selling flavor, but I think it's not because of the flavor.
It's called white male tears.
Which is hysterical. Yeah, that is marketing genius is what it is. So good for them.
Ironically delicious. I believe that should be the...
Yeah, ironically delicious too. Oh, so tasty, these tears. Oh, we drink your tears. The world is slipping away at your white male fingertips. No offense, Rocky. I mean, I'm looking at a white guy too. He's the one who read the...
I'm not white. My family just got here from Czechoslovakia. We didn't have slaves or anything.
You did.
You don't think there were slaves in Eastern Europe?
slave comes from Slavic. I believe we probably were slaves at some point.
That's possible too, as a matter. Fact. Hey, you know what? We've all at some point, depending on the perspective, have been the oppressed or the oppressor.
If you have a girlfriend, you're a slave.
Have the Taino Indians ever been?
Yes.
Probably.
Oppressors?
I'm sure at one point in time.
There was a...
each other.
Back in the 600 AD, there was some lesser Indian native group on Puerto Rico Island.
That they totally wiped out.
And the Tainos wiped them out.
Yeah.
And they've been peace-loving, et cetera, because, we wiped out our competition.
Exactly.
So for hundreds of years. Yes. Okay, and then the Europeans came in the 1400s. And we did the same thing. And then they wiped out the Tainos.
Yes. I think they
brought a bunch of African slaves. Mm-hmm. And then the white European males had sex with the African slaves and the Taino women. Mm-hmm. And then
everybody does
then
end up
smash
fucking.
Cut to 2017, Chris Crespo.
Yeah,
yes.
Everybody does end up fucking, and that's the
everyone
beauty of it.
End up fucking. That's how you get the mestizos and the mezoas and the Mexicans.
It's
and
evolution.
The Mezcals and the what else we got, Drew?
We got an email from Scott.
Oh, we got an email from Scott.
We have an Atomic Blonde and a War for the Planet of the Apes review.
All right, here we go. All right, what
was that? Atomic Blonde is the Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy meets Game of Thrones. It's a convoluted, often hard-to-comprehend, very European Cold War spy game, but with tits and dragons.
Yes.
The tits are actual tits, and we'll get to them later.
And the dragons
but the
are
dragons,
dragons
are the epic, epic combat scenes that this film depicts. Where John Wick was masterful with its choreographed gun-fu tactics, Atomic Blonde's best moments are surprisingly when she's unarmed. Sure, she can headshot a dude with ice-cold precision many, many, many times, but it's the hand-to-hand combat sequences that are the frosting on this cake. And then there's the sprinkles. If you saw the movie, you know the scene I'm talking about. Oh, yes, I do. The fight sequence was so brutal, so vicious, and so extended. These characters battled for their lives to the point of physical exhaustion. They struggled to find the strength to even stand up, looked for any advantage, only to get beat down again by their opponent. And the camera was right through the whole time. It looked like one continuous take, though I think I noticed a few cleverly placed edit points.
Yeah, Scott saw them too. We saw them.
It was magnificent, and that was only the best one. All the others were pure class as well. And now, the tits.
The tits!
Spoiler alert, there's a lesbian sex scene, and it's pretty hot. The only reason I bring this up is because I honestly cannot remember the last time a big Hollywood film featured a graphic sex scene. The internet has made porn so free, pervasive, even quote-unquote mainstream. I really thought Hollywood had come to the conclusion that sex was obsolete for making / selling a movie. I don't know if the sexuality is key to the character, and it legit a pull from the source material, but I'll be honest, I found it kind of refreshing to sit in a public theater and watch two performers really get it on. But where this movie somewhat falters is the spy game aspect. It's just hard to understand what the hell is going on a lot of the time. There are so many characters, so many code names, and the mission just goes to shit so quickly. You're playing keep up from jump and spend most of the movie just hoping that this will somehow make sense at the end. I really hate that feeling because it usually doesn't. But to its credit, Atomic Blonde kinda does work at the end. The final twist at the very, very, very end brought what seemed like clarity to the big picture, but I'm still not sure. I think I need to see this one again and pay hard attention to just the spy shit. 3 out of 4 stars for now.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Scott.
Not a terrible review.
No, it sounded like you liked it for the most part. Maybe a little confused a bit by the spy stuff. It does get a little twisty-turny as it gets towards the end.
Big tits, bigger dragons. I like it.
Also, mentioning big tits, he mentioned the sex. It did feel throwbacky.
It did. It felt very throwbacky.
All of a sudden, there's a sex scene in this movie that was like a gratuitous sex scene.
Yeah.
And...
What's those are the best sex scenes.
Yeah, but you know what is the purpose of it? There was a point about making, like, the characters are connecting in a way. Yeah. And it's a sexual way, but they're still connecting, and then that character development does pay off down the road. Now, you can also do that same development without having a sex scene, without having two beautiful women fondling each other.
But this is
with the camera, like, doing the male gaze thing with cool music and cool lighting.
But
there could have been ways around that.
But it's an 80s action movie.
But it's an 80s action movie, and that's a very 80s action movie to do. It's very throwbacky.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was very purposeful.
It worked.
Yeah, and it is. It's like, whoa, I haven't seen this in a movie.
No, and that's what really got me about it, too. And the best part about it is they do very little of... that in the marketing. Like, there's in the first couple trailers that came out, there's a hint of it, but there's no, like, at no point in time, I knew that scene was going to be in the movie, but at no point in time did I think it was going to be that graphic.
Right. And, right, exactly. It got a little more graphic than I expected to.
Yes.
And at one point, it was getting to a point where I was like, are they going to get Game of Thrones with Z? But then they pull back just slightly.
Just a little bit.
The end there. All right, there you go. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate it.
And War for the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah, War for the Planet of the Apes. Here we go. Let's see it.
This motion capture technology is fucking astounding. And when combined with a truly exceptional actor, yes, I said actor, as in Best Actor nominee Andy Serkis, the end result is perfection. These apes are every bit as real, emotive, and affecting as the human characters on screen, often more so thanks to the talent behind these digital masks. The technique has been seamless throughout these apes films, but it's only gotten sharper with time. I don't feel for a moment that you're watching any computer-generated images, yet this movie is like 90% CGI. Hmm. For that accomplishment alone, it's well worth seeing. But the screenplay is hot garbage. One of my biggest pet peeves is when characters behave stupidly or illogically, or only for the sake of advancing the plot. Woody Harrelson sure chews the scenery as the Mad Colonel, but the unit he's commanding is utterly incompetent, and simply because the plot demands it to be. I find this so frustrating. It's literally unbelievable how inept the humans have to be in order for the apes to escape and survive their predicament. Oh, and Josh Gad's Olaf, Steve Zahn's bad ape, he wore out his welcome after that first scene. Why is comic relief being shoehorned into an apes movie? 2.5 stars.
Damn, Scott.
Take care, guys.
Scott didn't like it.
No.
I
thought Bad Ape was refreshing.
Bad Ape. Yeah, I was like, thank God for this little bit of humor. Yeah, otherwise, this movie is depressing as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, all the humans are dead. Chris.
But Scott saw it as a shoehorning of, you know what? That's just it's art. It's a movie. The same people can sit down and watch the same thing and get exactly different things from it. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate that 100%. What else we got?
That's all we got.
Oh, that's all we got? All right, here we go. Well, then it's time for some movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating
getaway.
The holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, Cinema Crespediso movie news segment, the most important segment in all of podcasting, because we talk about the hottest celebrity beach bods and the craziest divorce rumors in Hollywood, but most importantly, we give you your Biebs update. Rocky, what's up with the Biebs?
Well, he was last seen peeing in a Miami downtown Chinese restaurant.
Again?
Yes, again, yeah. You know what's funny is a lot of times when somebody calls my phone and I get a weird number or whatever, I'll answer the phone pretending to be a radio station. I'll be like, hello, you're on What's the Fuss Podcast. What did the Biebs put inside or around you?
Ooh. And would give any good
answers? Hang up every time.
Oh, they always hang up.
That is a really good time to scam scammers.
That's a bummer. The Biebs has found Jesus again, or found him again.
Found Jesus again. Now he lost Jesus.
He grew up with Jesus.
Oh.
But then he lost Jesus and found fame.
Mm.
But now that he's got the fame, He found Jesus.
He's got Jesus again. Kent, sort of like how, kind of like how Molly stopped smoking pot.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, did you see the picture of his quote unquote pastor though? The dude hanging out in the Louis Vuitton hoodie.
His ripped pastor, that's not a man of God hoodie.
Yeah, that's not. That is not a pastor.
Who says it isn't? Today, this morning, flipping through the channels, I saw a random pastor on TV. It was some like ripped dude looking like Chef Robert Irvine wearing a T-shirt, preaching to a megachurch wearing a T-shirt.
He's with his biceps. He's not a man of God either.
Oh, he's pretending like he's not a millionaire.
He's just...
Yeah, he had millionaire stench coming off him like crazy.
Yeah, but he's just wearing a t-shirt. He's just one of you guys.
He reeked up the 1%.
Hey, man, I'm just an electrician. Monday through tax Friday.
Haven. Yeah, it was a $75
t-shirt.
It's a tax haven.
They don't pay... Church doesn't pay taxes. So
welcome, thine brethren, to the Church of Cinema Crespity So.
Oh, you want to go that... We can go that route.
Why not?
We can go that route.
I am your pastor, Pastor Crespo.
I didn't bring any money to put in the thingy.
You'd be the Pope.
Do I need to leave?
You'd be Pope Crespo.
You can IOU us.
Okay.
Yeah. I can be the Poop
Crespo. I can write a check, but I am the grand, cash it to next Thursday.
I am the Grand Poop. The Grand Poobah.
Yes.
And, yeah, we'll lead people to salvation via Crespo Decidus.
Okay. Yes. And it is just small tithings to get in. Very small tithings. We only required...
And Rocky, I'll take an IOU.
We only required 10% of your annual income.
10% of your annual income.
10% of my annual income.
Yeah, correct.
Yes. That sounds ridiculous. Now, how much is that as tax deductible from you guys? None?
No. You can deduct it on your taxes. Because it's a charitable contribution. We don't pay taxes on it at all because we are the church.
Now,
that seems unfair.
Well, you can bitch to the government about that.
Yeah, bitch to the government about it.
These are their rules.
These are their rules.
We're just abiding by them and profiting from them.
We're playing in their sandbox.
So you're telling people to visit a voting booth.
Yes.
And then too.
Yeah, we'll also open our studio to be a voting location.
Oh, that'd be cool. You can just come right in here one way. Uh-huh. And then they give... I mean, last time I went voting...
And then we'll interview them on the way out.
The last place I went, it was early in the morning, and they had orange juice and donuts.
That's awesome.
That's nice.
It was very weird, yeah.
I went to the actual election office down by downtown, and they were just like, get in.
No, same thing. I went to the library in Winter Park.
Library? Movie news segment. Here we go. Justin Bieber found Jesus. According to...
He found Jesus?
I think he might be Jesus in his own mind.
He might be Beavis. He found Beavis.
Beavis
Christ.
Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead Christ.
I would watch that show.
May the Butthead be with you. That story sucks. I'm just kidding.
Shouldn't you read these stories before?
No, I picked the stories earlier, but now I'm looking at them again. I'm like,
and
you know what?
I'm retarded.
It's just not fitting the vibe of what we're doing right now.
Is it vibe?
Did I change the vibe? I feel like I changed the vibe.
No, you know what?
There's a vibe. I wasn't feeling any vibes.
He takes a long draw of his whiskey.
You know what you get? It's fine. Make it a double, Chris. Make it a double.
It was a double.
It'll help.
It was my second double. Yeah. And I didn't have lunch.
You should do a third.
Uh-oh. What are we having? Toasted?
Christopher Nolan. Making these movies. He made Dunkirk.
Okay.
The Dark Knight. Talk about The Dark Knight. Those the Christian Bale Batman.
Wonderful.
That's a lot of D's and K's.
Wonderful movie.
A lot of D's and K's from the Christopher Nolan. Also made Inception and Interstellar to cover the eyes.
Yeah.
Apparently on his sets, on his movie sets,
yeah.
He bans bottled water and chairs.
Now, is that to get laziness out of the way? A lot of people
drink
sipping
from
water.
The hose and stand up.
Stand up and drink from the hose.
Well, you know, I mean, people get lazy. They're drinking water, they're smoking cigarettes, they're hanging out.
Not necessarily the water, but the chairs, yes, leads to that way. Here we go. Here's a couple quotes from a couple people, one of them Mark Rylance, who worked in the film. It's about Christopher Nolan. He does things like he doesn't like having chairs on set for actors or bottles of water. He's very particular. Another person says they're distractions. The noise of the bottles. They're like toys almost, playing around with toys. The lack of chairs, meanwhile, keeps you on your toes, literally.
Also, no running AC, because that just makes people lazy.
He might have some running AC. Well, if you're shooting outdoors, there's no... You just gotta
no
have
food,
blankets and stuff.
No water.
He doesn't want people to be uncomfortable, but he wants them to be in the moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you're making a $150, $175 million movie...
With the amount of money some of these people are getting paid, fucking deal with it.
I was wondering the
other
day.
They
can
go a couple hours without a goddamn
Louis C.K. was bitching about it not long ago, and I remember his thing on it was, you're getting paid a lot of money. All you need to do is pay attention.
Pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all you gotta do. Cate Blanchett. She's in a new Thor movie.
Death.
Plain Hela. Hela. Hela? How do you pronounce that? H-E-L-A.
It's got to be Hela. They're not naming someone Hela.
Hela?
That sounds awful. That's like, not phonetically okay to Americans.
She's hella hot.
She's hella death. Shit.
I'm hella stoked to see the movie.
Hella death.
She is hella hot.
She's hella hot. Hella death. Hella the goddess of death. Hela the goddess of death.
Stella works.
She, not the first actress I think you would think of when it comes to like a Thor movie or a big colorful comic book movie.
That's why I like it so much.
That's why it's so cool, right?
It brings a certain amount. It's like Anthony Hopkins being Odin, you know?
Yeah,
it brings
right?
a certain amount of gravitas to that character.
A little bit of extra to it.
Yeah.
Well, Kate Blanchett, someone asked her kind of why, what drew her to the character, at what point did she sign on, did she agree to do the movie, and she says it's the moment where she's reading the script and she saw that her character is introduced, and we see this in the trailer, her character is introduced by destroying Mjolnir, Thor's hammer, where he gets all his power from, his weapon, and he gets most of his power, right? So she reads that, and she goes... That had me at hello, actually. I thought that was really exciting that they were prepared to destroy Thor's power in the first few minutes. So, yeah, it's a nice entrance. Yeah. So that's what
now
Drew
does he gain like, his power think, back? Does well, he have to rebuild the thing?
Well, obviously,
I've got a lot of questions.
Obviously, here. He's gonna be getting everything back by the end of the movie.
I hope
you
so.
Know, it's a
that's
movie.
Like Austin Powers lost his mojo.
His mojo, he's gotta get his mojo back. We've seen movies 100%. This is one of the seven stories. Somehow, there's always say that seven or eight stories. No. But that's how they got Kate Blanchett, which is very cool. I'm looking forward to it, man. November.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's gonna be a while.
That
before,
does sound good.
Before a while before Thor comes out. So there you go. That's what's going on with the Biebs.
I didn't hear any Bieber stuff in that.
Yeah, the Biebs, man. He's found Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he's Bejeebus. Bejeebus Christ. Remember Bejeebus Christ?
Where do you go to jail or something? That's where everybody finds Jesus.
Bejeebus Dreist. Is Justin Bieber's Christian street name.
My lord.
He's the rebel.
Is he our Vanilla Ice?
He's the rebel without a clue.
Is he our Vanilla Ice?
No, Vanilla Ice is our Vanilla Ice. Justin Bieber is our Justin Bieber.
Is he our JTT?
JTT?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh, no. Whatever happened to him? Didn't he retire?
He's in
his 20s.
He's still, I believe he directs now.
What happened to the young one?
Oh, the goth kid?
Yeah, the one who was a goth kid for like the last season of Home Improvement.
You know what? That's a good question.
Also, no one gives a fuck about the older one.
Well, you know what's funny is...
The one with the mullet.
You know what's funny is I just finished Roseanne, the entire thing. I just got into the... where I went from the first episode to when they become millionaires
or
whatever.
Like 8 seasons. Yeah.
Yeah, we have the box set. I believe it's 9.
Damn.
It's 8 or 9. Either way, what I want to do now is I'd like to do Home Improvement. I would like to do the entire Simpsons thing because just... I'm really into The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And also, there's another one, and I can't remember what it is. Oh. All that, Kenan and Kel, Snick, that stuff.
Oh, nice. I have the only one, actually, not the only one. I have the two series that I have that I watch front to back. One of them multiple times is News Radio.
Okay, I've never
seen all five.
Oh, that was
with
Joe Rogan and
Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman.
Also, Judd. No, not Judd Apatow.
Stephen Root, Andy Dick, Dave Foley, Maura Tierney,
the ugly guy.
The ugly guy.
Oh man, the hat and the not Judd Apatow. His name is something something something, and he's always looking like weird. He's got the glasses and never mind.
Something, something, something.
Yeah.
You confuse me. Yeah. Brian Posehn?
No. Oh, hey, I love him.
He pops up in a couple episodes, as well as Steve Odenkirk and David Cross.
There we go.
All three of them pop up in multiple episodes.
David Cross and Odenkirk work amazing.
They do work out together, and they're in the same episode together.
Everything that they do.
I have News Radio, and I have Seinfeld. I have the entire series, which I watch from the back.
You've seen every Seinfeld?
I've seen every episode of Seinfeld, plus all the commentary tracks, all the special features, all the documentaries.
I'm impressed.
It's literally... hours of entertainment. Wait, did I hit the button? Probably I did.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Alright, here we go. I have 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Rocky, are you ready?
I am ready.
Let's do this. Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one. How many pairs of shoes do you own?
Oh... 10.
Number two, if you were to write a book, what would it be about?
Punk rock.
Number three, what is your favorite dessert?
Banana pudding.
Number four, which Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle are you?
Gotta be Michelangelo.
Number five, what about that Owens Corning?
What is that?
Owens Corning?
You know?
No.
You know nothing about Owens Corning?
No. All right. Is that a person?
Is it?
I don't know.
All right. Do you know Owens Corning, Drew?
I have no idea.
You have no idea? Drew, really? You don't know Owens Corning? That Owens Corning installation? The pink stuff? The Pink Panther? That pink installation stuff? They see the big rolls at the Home Depot?
Oh, I got some of that stuff in my eye, and it cost me $400 to go to the emergency room.
Okay, let me re-ask you that question. How about that Owens Corning?
Fuck that shit.
Number six, name three Price is Right games.
Three Price is Right games. Oh, fuck. Win the jet ski. Blue, 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 blue. And
I love that game.
Bob Barker fights Happy Gilmore.
All right, number seven, Winona Ryder or Radio Flyer.
Winona Ryder.
Number eight, would you ever get them Jailhouse Shorts?
No.
No? You want to get them Jailhouse Shorts?
I'm going to try not to.
You're not into Jailhouse Shorts?
I don't know what that means.
Drew, you ever get them Jailhouse Shorts?
Of course.
I got them in college all the time.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Number nine, Aliens versus Predators. Who wins at chess?
Predators, yeah.
Number 10, why cheese?
Why not?
Why not? Exactly. Here we go, Drew. We need the swag bags. They're actually over there. I know the things got moved around because of the trivia stuff. I apologize, Drew. Rocky, he has a green bag. He has a striped bag. He has a purple bag. Which one of those three do you maybe want to go home with today?
I'm going green because it's my favorite color.
Here we go. Green's his favorite color.
It's also one of the few colors I can see.
One of a few colors. Are you colorblind?
I am semi-color. I'm not severely colorblind.
Oh, shit. No.
I can see a lot of stuff, but not everything.
But not everything. Okay, yeah. There we go. Well, Drew, break out the bag.
You
let's see.
You may get to go home with a light-up spinner. It's got bright LED lights. Launch it high. Watch it spin down.
Oh, it's one of those spinners you shoot
directions
into the air.
Directions are on the back.
Okay.
With directions on the back. All right. Not a fidget spinner.
Pizza spinner. Cards with 68 stickers included. You got it's a fake pizza. They scratch and sniff. You can put
oh, dude, I'm a sticker
stuff.
Man for sure.
There you go. And they scratch and sniff pizza sticker.
Jokes and gags, dog poo. It's fake, but you and friends might think it's real.
I have a dog. I'm gonna trick her out.
Swervy Jones koozie.
I've got 100 of those
and a bunch of stickers. Maybe even a What's the Fuss sticker in there.
Oh, really? Probably. If I get one of my own stickers back, I'm gonna call that an investment return.
There you go. That's that money coming back to you.
Yes, sir.
Rocky.
Yes.
You can take that bag home and all that stuff is yours. Or we take that bag and we put it away. And instead, you take what Drew Cochran has in the box right over here. That's right.
Man, I want those pizza stickers.
You got the pizza stickers. We got the dog poo. You got all that stuff. Or the mystery of what's
I want the
box.
Pizza. Now, once I say fuck the box, do I get to know what was in the box?
No.
No?
No, as a matter of fact, we take the box, we have a wood chipper that we keep out back.
And we burn it.
And we
then send the ashes through the wood chipper.
Yes, we burn the box with the contents in it, and then we send the burned ashes through the wood chipper.
I can't shake the box, I can't do anything with the box, I can't sniff the box.
No, you can look at it from where you're sitting right
there. I hope there's not a puppy in the box, because it's been sitting there for 2 hours.
There's also no holes, yes.
I want those pizza stickers in that bag.
So you're going with the bag?
I want the bag.
I was about to say, if there was a puppy in here, it'd be dead by now.
Yeah.
Let's go with the bag. Box away. Just like check, make sure the puppy's not dead. Puppy's not dead. All right, put the box away. No, Rocky, thank you for coming.
Oh, it was
on.
An ounce of pot. No, I'm just.
Man, you already screwed up on that one.
Hey, man, thank you so much for having me here. I really enjoy the show. I really love what you guys do,
thank you, man.
I really admire you guys. I'm so glad that we're going to be able to work together.
Yes.
In the near future, actually, in the present future,
right now.
Yeah.
Working together
in the
right
present,
now.
Present,
in the present. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Drew, thank you very much.
Yeah, buddy.
And thank you everyone for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure you read more books, break up the big banks, free movie app, Abu Jamal, listen to Rage Against the Machine, and check out pftmedia.com. Rate us and review us 5 stars on iTunes. We are out of here.
We out this month.
A PFT Media production.